I want to talk about episode 10 of Lovely Runner, how Sanjay is like the greenest flag to ever green flag in my recent watch of K-dramas, how one of the best love declarations was made in this show, and just how much this show puts you on emotional tailspin. Yeah, I have a lot to talk about. Hi. I'm Monique. I am the host of Off by Purple Heart podcast, where I talk to you about K-dramas, C-dramas, BTS, and whatever else I want to talk about. Sanjay in Lovely Runner is absolutely written by a woman. I've seen this commentary a lot, and I believe the writer of this show has a lot of great hits under her belt, like True Beauty, for example. Just a lot of iconic K-drama work. So she knows what the hell she's doing. But with this show, episode 10 is like the most delicious, bittersweet, gorgeous writing. And it has one of the best declarations where the male lead, Sanjay, essentially said to Seol, "I am willing to die for this love. I want you to be with me so damn much that if it turns out I am going to die in the future, I would be willing to do so if that means we can get several years of happiness together and we can stop having to avoid one another and you constantly running away from me and this push and pull that we continue to have." And it's so heartbreakingly sweet and it's so heartbreakingly gorgeous, and it's too much. Byeonwoo Suk, first of all, is acting his ace off in this show, and he has been putting in some work. And don't worry, Miss Girl is doing her thing too. Like, she's selling the show, but I absolutely have really come to like Byeonwoo Suk as an actor. I think he makes this male lead so appealing. And yes, the show obviously is steeped in unrealistic expectations. I mean, they're time traveling, for God's sakes. But he is so earnest in his portrayal, and I'm used to seeing him as a more stoic like figure, and he can play cold and chilling and sinister, but he gets to be very much expressive here. Like, he can be the leading man and, you know, the characters can fawn over his good looks, but he gets to be silly, he gets to be the simp, he gets to be kind of loser-ish, but in an endearing way. And as much as Im Seol is risking and she's putting in so much work, and I genuinely feel so bad for her as a character, through the entirety of this 10 episodes, she has been basically being jerked around emotionally. She's had traumatic events happen to her again and again and again. She has seen someone that she's grown to really love and care about deeply die in many horrific ways, and on top of that, she is consistently being stalked by a serial killer, and for whatever friggin' reason, no matter what timeline she's in, this damn serial killer will not let up. Like, she can't travel back to a point in time where this man is like a fucking gardener or something. Like, he's consistently plotting. And I want to talk about some theories as well, because there are some interesting theories that I've been seeing float around online that I kind of agree with as well. But the love that these two characters, Sanjay and Im Seol, have with one another is so great. And even that the show is doing like slapstick, funny moments, like the fight between Sanjay and the high school crush from the past, when they're holding up the buckets of water, is really funny. You know, like all the slapstick humor when Seol went under the dining table when she thought that Sanjay was kissing like another girl and she was jealous, but she knew she didn't have any right to be because she's been pushing him away because she thinks that this is when she will finally be able to truly protect him and save his life. Like, it does a lot of slapstick, secondhand embarrassment type scenes really well, and it's just really great humor. But when it comes down to brass tactics, like, this is giving the romance that it should. And it's still oh so frustrating because it's like, dang, there's still 6 episodes left in this bitch, right? There's still 6 episodes. What are we gonna do? Because I have a feeling, as great as this show has been, and as I said, I'm giving the writer her kudos as well to the cast and crew. It's been a great ride thus far, but because there's been so many jerking back and forth, the time travel can get very dicey and very messy, and with 6 episodes still remaining, as far as I know, it's supposed to be 16 episodes for this show. I can just see it getting very messy because K-dramas, as of late, for the 2003-2004 slots that we've been getting, they haven't been able to stick the landing. Like, somewhere around the episode 12-13 to 14 arc, when the Dark Night of the Soul happens in the show, where there has to be the big rising climactic dramatic moment where you don't think the couple is going to make it. This is typically a tentpole in storytelling anyways, and definitely in romance stories. There has to be a moment where the audience genuinely second guesses where the whether or not the couple's gonna have their happy ending. Now, it was kind of teased in episode 9 and episode 10 that there was a little bit of foreshadowing that Seol and Sanjay will end up together and married. And that foreshadowing was really what comforted me, because yeah, the show's gonna have a happy ending for sure. But I'm just wondering, how messy are they going to make it before they get to that point? It's not even just about getting the happy ending, but is the happy ending going to be satisfactory, or is the audience going to be so frustrated before we even get to that point, because the next 4 episodes just cannot hold on to that grip in the storytelling? And this is where I'm kind of concerned, but I'm going to hold true because the show really has been bringing it a lot. And I have been rooting for this couple, and it's kind of fresh. Like, all the main tropes that you'll see in a K-drama, with kind of like enemies to lovers, you know, the grumpy sunshine trope, and you know, the clumsy, goofy girl, and you know, more the most stoic lead, but then also the really silly and like secretly is like head over heels, like he fell first and he fell harder. Like, it has so many delicious tropes in it, yet it still feels kind of fresh. And it's not even the most, it's not even like one of the first of its kind for doing time travel. Like, a lot of K-dramas have the element of time travel, yet there's something about this show that feels really fresh. And speaking of time travel as well, some of the interesting theories that I've heard some people say is that they think that the high school crush might be a time traveler himself, which would explain kind of like the mischievous knowing glint that he has in his eyes whenever he talks to Seol. Like, he has been called perceptive by her multiple times. Like, she does it in a funny kind of way. She kind of is like, you know, for someone that I think is kind of dumb, you actually are kind of smart and perceptive. But there's something about that character and the way he's presented that I feel like maybe the fan theories are onto something, that he could be someone from her future timeline, like the first timeline, and somehow is traveling back along with her and might be someone that's helping out in a way, which I think would be interesting. I think the character of the high school sweetheart is really interesting, and even though there's a lot of slapstick moments between him and Sanjay, and they were doing their little jealousy, I'm the better match for Seol type of thing, in the end he conceded and let him know, you know, you're really blind and dumb. If you can't see how deeply in love that woman is with you, considering that every time she gets a chance to, she's telling you how much she wants to protect you. Hell, she's even come to me and told me that, look out for him in the future. And then finding out that he's like the detective, the lead detective on the case for the serial killer, like he's his son, even more so, she's like, please protect him. And he's telling Sanjay, like, open your eyes, get it together, man. And just him about to go on a plane to go to the US because he's feeling, you know, scorned, and you know, he wants to go back on track to being a professional swimmer, but him having, you know, that doubt, and him just having that feeling that something's not right. How does she know the lyrics to the song that she's never heard from before? Can I believe her claims that she is from the future? Even though she can't tell me a lot of detail, but there's just too many things that are just not adding up. And Sanjay end up digging up the time capsule, and just the whole love declaration and him figuring out that she's trying to save his life multiple times. Like, it's just beautiful, but it's also bittersweet, and it's exhausting. I feel so exhausted for both characters because they're being put through it, goddamn. And the other fan theory that I thought was really interesting was the idea that the serial killer himself, the one that has been steadily stalking Imsol for the entirety of the show and has been that dark cloud. And it's unfortunate because his presence is kind of like the linchpin for the major storyline, yet it's always so annoying when you're already dealing with a lot of chaotic mess in a love drama, like in a romance drama, and then you have to deal with some weird serial killer side plot as well. But I think the theory that he also could be from the future as well, because he seems to be adjusting every time Imsol goes back into the past. He seems to figure out what she wants to do and is able to subvert and redirect and basically have her back at square one. As much as she's trying to protect herself and save Sanjay's life and actually finally bring about justice and get this friggin' monster off the streets, he seems to always be one step ahead. And I think that's even more interesting. Having the high school crush as a future a time traveler and the serial killer as a time traveler as well would be some interesting dynamics to confirm and play with for the remaining six eps. But I'm just so blown by how much this show is tightly paced. I mean, we're already at 10 episodes and like so much has happened, and their love is just so beautiful. And Sanjay is the greenest of green flags, to the point where Yi Yang from Amidst a Snowstorm of Love is, you got some competition, buddy. You got some competition, pal. it's been an interesting ride. So let me know your thoughts. Is anybody watching Lovely Runner that has stumbled across any of my podcasts yet? Can you hit me with some comments in the YouTube section? Please, please, please. And for those in the Spotify and Apple Podcasts audio side of things, I really appreciate you listening in as well. It's such an interesting, refreshing K-drama to me. I haven't been really invested in a K-drama in a while. I've had some recent ones that I've enjoyed. I've chronicled My Demon, Marry My Husband, and a few others. But to actually fully be rejuvenated, it gives me the feel of older K-dramas, you know? Like, I feel like almost like in like the 2016, 2017 type of realm kind of feel. Like, it feels fresh, but it also feels nostalgic, and it's doing a lot of tropes, and on paper, you wouldn't think so, but there's just something that feels good and different about the show. And I just genuinely hope that they can hold it up for the remaining episodes. I don't want to be disappointed. Anyways, that's it for this podcast episode. Let me know your thoughts below. Thank you for all those that are listening as well. I hope you have a great day, great night, great evening, wherever you are, whatever time zone you are. Happy Mother's Day weekend, and until the next one.